God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Numbers 23:19. Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. A God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We can be found on the internet at godschool.com. This morning, I want to get right into the word from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. The 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters of Matthew have often been called the faith chapters. And faith is acting on the promises of God. That you may hear and know and be edified today with this teaching from the book of Matthew chapter 16. Let's begin in the 13th verse. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus gave them the answer right there. And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. Thou art, by interpretation, thou art the deliverer. Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That's an astounding statement, folks. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to him. If we know Jesus, if we know who Jesus is, it's by our Father, which is in heaven. It's revealed to us by our Father, which is in heaven. Think on that. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, there's some understanding through these words, through this translation that we just read. But I'd like to go a little deeper. Jesus speaking, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, thou art Petros, a stone. And upon this Petra, I will build my church. Jesus Christ called Peter a stone, something that can be tossed. And if we know the history of the Apostle Peter, like so many of us, we're tossed to and fro. But this word Petros, and now you have to imagine the scene. Jesus said, you're Peter, you're a stone. And then, pointing to himself, and upon this rock, this Petra, massive rock, I will build my church. Church. The word in the Greek is ekklesia. It means out called ones, called out from among. You know, we have that wonderful declaration of Paul in the fourth verse of the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, which says, according as he, that is God, has chosen, ekklektos, that is, middle voice, means chosen for himself, in Christ, in him, the translation says, before the foundation of the world. That says God called out, chose out for himself before the foundations of the world. That's who the church is. The literal meaning of the English word church means that which belongs to the Lord. It's not that building on every other corner in cities and towns across this world. It's a people who belong to the Lord. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In some commentaries, we have this, which was said. The word gates is used for councils, designs, machinations, evil purposes. Hell means here the place of departed spirits, particularly evil spirits. And the meaning of this passage is that all the plots, stratagems, and machinations of the enemies of the church would not be able to overcome it, a promise that has remarkably, that has been remarkably fulfilled. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This word being translated prevail against it is a combination of two words in the Greek. Ishkuo, it means to be strong, it means to have power, it means to have strength to overcome, to be a force, to be able, can. But the word is kata ishkuo, it actually is kata iskususin. These suffixes tell us the grammar. But before we get into that, let's look at the first word of this combination of two words. It is kata ishkuo, or kata iskusion. So you take the word eskuo, and pardon my enunciation, I'm not a Greek scholar, but thank God for the helps he gives us for your edification. If you want to avail yourself of some of the helps that I use the blueletterbible.com. I don't use it all because, you know, there's a lot of quote-unquote, I hope you understand my words, churchy stuff, religious stuff in there. But it will give you as close to the original word, which moved throughout the world in its day, it will give you the original Greek and Hebrew. And I also use BibleHub.com. These are beneficial helps in bringing to greater understanding, and through that greater understanding, more confidence in the Word of God, and confidence is part of that Greek word pistuo, which we translate, which should be translated faith. It's an action based on a belief sustained by confidence. It's more then believe. But back to this word, kata eskousousin, when you take a verb and you put kata in front of it, you take it from a temporary stage to a permanent stage. We find this in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, wherein we find words translated, but probably not to the proper understanding of the reader and or of the hearer. It says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation. Krino is the word. It's temporary. It says, for if we judge, krino, temporary, we should not be judged temporary. But when we are judged temporary, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now we get the word kata krima. That means permanently judged. Back to this word, kata eskousousin. What's being said here is, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not ever permanently prevail against it. Now, we have the teaching in the book of Revelation, wherein we find the false prophet and the beast, which is by interpretation the Antichrist. And it is, if you understood it, the personification of government. It is, you know, it says, take the number, 666. What does that mean? Six is the number of a man. Three is the number of manifestation. It is humanism manifested. We don't need God. We can do it ourselves. Government. And today, here in the United States and around the world, government is making every attempt to become God. That is, the one who has ultimate authority. But Jesus said, I will build my church upon this rock, upon himself, and the gates of hell, in other words, we could translate it, and government shall not prevail against it. Two things that we can learn about this 18th verse. Two things we can learn about the church in this 18th verse. It will be built. And it will battle. You know, Paul wasn't just being poetic when he says, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against wicked spirits in high places. And he told us to put on the whole armor of God. Gird yourself about with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness which God gives us. Have your shoes shod with the gospel of peace. God is not against us. He gave his Son for us. He will do what he said he will do for his church. Holding up the shield of faith wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Putting on the helmet of salvation and taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you're concerned about the role of government in your life today, you should be. But understand the words of Jesus. I will build my church, and government shall not prevail against it. He goes on to say, I will give unto thee, speaking to Peter, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And we have so many doctrines of men that have come out of these statements, like, and look, I'm not against Roman Catholics. I used to be one. God in his grace gave me a teacher of his word that I might come to understand God through his word and not through the doctrines of men, which make void the word of God. What doctrines of men have the Roman Catholic Church used to promote their position in this world? They say, well, Jesus said he was going to build the church upon Peter. He said he'd give Peter the keys to the kingdom. No, he didn't. We've just taught about it. Some take it further to say Peter was, now made infallible. Well, you know, this happened before. The crucifixion. And we find Peter denying Christ three times. We find Peter, I believe it's in the 10th chapter of Acts, arguing with God, saying he wasn't going to preach to those unclean Gentiles. And God said, don't you dare call unclean what I've called clean. We find Paul having to withstand Peter to his face because he was playing the hypocrite. I'm not condemning Peter. God knows the many shortcomings I have in my life. God knows the many shortcomings you have in your life. But in Christ Jesus, He has overcome them all. These words, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. These are words of an intercessor. Of time. We find ourselves in circumstance that conflict with God's word. But we, through these words, have the right to grab hold upon and stay upon the word of God. This is faith. And make intercession. Perhaps for someone else. Or for ourselves. It says in the book of Hebrews, Christ ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. That's to help us hit the mark. We hit the mark when we are acting on the promises of God. And we do that as we began this journey by faith. We, through ever increasing faith, continue to hit the mark, that is, to live by faith and not by sight, which is pleasing to God, because without faith it is impossible to please God. The context of this 19th verse is, wherever there is a conflict between circumstance and God's word, we have the right to grab hold of God's word, because as we started, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said? We don't have to ask God to say, only say the word and I'll be healed. God says he is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. God says he's Jehovah Shalom, our peace. God says he is Jehovah Tzidkenu, our righteousness. Grab hold of it. Because he has said, shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Yes, is the answer. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And that is the God school for today. I hope this message lasts till we meet again. Stay in faith.